The Megillah,
Megillah's Rus,
starts with the words Vayhibi Meshvot HaShoftim. That's right there on page one at the top. Now, I'm going to read from a lot of stuff tonight, but my notes, which I'm going to follow, begin on page 9, the second to last page in the handout, and to go on to page 10, so I appreciate if you follow along over there. And on Rus, I haven't planned on making a safe yet. We'll find out. At Shoftim. Okay, maybe by the time I finish the Rus. Rus are going to go a lot slower than we did in Shoftim, though. There's a lot more stuff here. Chazal and Megillah, Daf Yud, say that Vayihi is a Lashon of Tzara, a Lashon of travail, which befell Ad Yisrael. The first Lashon, there are two Lashonos of Tzara, two Lashonos which have to do with the travail in this pasuk itself. First of all, it says, Vayhibi Meshvot HaShoftim, in the time of the judges, and then it goes on to say, Vayhi Rav Ba'aretz, there was a great famine in the land. So obviously, there are two Tzaras mentioned here, the second one only being the famine, the first one being the actual epic of the Shoftim. Now, it's important to note that we don't know exactly when the Mice of Rus occurred. The accepted interpretation is that it occurred at the time of Ivtzon. It was one of the Shoftim mentioned in Sefer Shoftim, and that Ivtzon is Boaz. An alternate interpretation is given by one of the other Midrashim, that in fact Elimelech, the first person mentioned in the Megillah, was alive and went to Moab at the time of Eli HaKohen, which obviously was right before the period of Shmuel HaNavi. And Shmuel is the one who wrote Sefer Rus. Regardless of when it was, the Malbim points out that between the major Shoftim, there are interim anarchistic periods when there are only minor Shoftim. In other words, it wasn't smooth, as we saw in Shoftim, there wasn't a smooth transition from Shofate to Shofate to Shofate, but rather in between, there are times when there were no major Shoftim, there are only local leaders. And that those are times when there was anarchy and there was we'll see it as a matter of fact later, explicitly in one of the Mefarshim, very much personal freedom. And they abused it. And they misused it. And as such, there were terrible things which went on, which is why the epic of the Shoftim itself has its own vayihi, its own woe attached to it, because of the abuse of personal freedom which occurred at those times. And I'll explain that in a little bit greater detail in a moment. Now, we see that in this part, in this Megillah, in the fact that one of the leaders of the generation, Elimelech, was able to actually desert Am Yisrael and go to Moab at the time of their great famine, at the time of these great troubles. We know that the leaders of the generation reflect the level of the generation, and vice versa. The level of the generation reflects the leaders of the generation. So here, if we have such a leader, you can imagine what the generation was like. Well, if that's the case, it would naturally follow that there's a Rav at this time. The physical world follows the spiritual world. And we say and talk about this every day in Vayayim Shamoa. If the physical, the spiritual world is on a low level, then there's going to be a low punishment in the physical world as well. We say Vayayim Shamoa Tishma, and if you don't listen, it's going to go badly. Now, I'd like to point out here something in the handout. And I want to tell you that there's a Perush HaMegillas Rus called the Nachas Yosef. The Nachas Yosef was written by a 20th century author. His name is Rabbi Yosef Lipowitz. He was a student of the Alter from Slabodka. And the Perush is written, he says, according to the approach to Tanakh and Chazal, which he received from the Alter from Slabodka. And therefore, I guess, reflects the finest of Lithuanian Musar. And this Perush comes highly recommended by a couple of sources, and I'm trying to go through it concurrently with the Megillah. I want to show you here the first point which I want to make out of Rabbi Lipowitz's parish is on page 5 of the handout, where I have little a. Kedibrei Chazal. Everybody see the bracket? Lama vayhi shtei pa'amim. Why does it say Vayhi twice? Echad l'ravon shalechem, one for the famine of the bread, va'acher, and the second one, l'ravon shal Torah, for the famine of Torah. L'lamedcha, to teach you, kol dor, any generation. She'ein Torah metzuyaba, when Torah is not prevalent, rav metzuyaba, famine is prevalent. V'nir lanu, it seems to us, she'ein kavanos ha'mamar hazeh. It doesn't mean she'rav barak b'toras onesh al hador, that the famine comes just as a punishment to the generation. Shein Torah Metzuyah, when Torah does not prevail, Eli Totzah Mechuyevus Mischayevus, this is a necessary result, a natural outcome, may I reconnus from the emptiness, the spiritual emptiness, Shador Shori Ba, which the generation has, which prevails in the generation. Ki Avtachas HaTorah, because the promise of the Torah, v'chalta v'savata, that you will eat and you'll be satisfied, hamura v'pashas v'yom shor, which is said in v'yom shema, zoi bracha b'fnei atzma. This is an individual bracha, a separate bracha. Sh'adam yovo lidei istapkus, usfiyah, that a person will come to satiation and satisfaction. Avibimei yirida musoris, but when there's a level, a dramatic downturn in the ethical level of the population, Sh'adam yotzei migidros, when people leave the proper restrictions, the Yitzrav Misparin, and their Yetzahara takes hold of them and goes wild, the Korin Hav, and they constantly want more material goods, Ushori Tomid B'matzav Sharav, even if he has what to eat, even if he has food, he's in a state of famine. Interesting thing that Rabbi Lipowitz is saying. He's saying that if a famine doesn't necessarily mean there's a lack of food. It means people are not satiated with what they have. Mishiyesh lo mana, somebody who has 100 wants 200. So a rav doesn't necessarily always mean a rav in the sense of lack of food, but a rav in the sense that one is not satisfied, one is not the type of ashiru samech b'chalko, one is constantly pursuing more and more material goods. Well, going on in this regard, the hope was pinned at that time on the leader, on Elimelech. Elimelech was the leader, at least of his local region in Shevet Yehuda. In fact, Chazal say the name Elimelech comes from the words Eli Tavo Malchus. He wanted to become a king. He had aspirations to become the king of Klal Yisrael. That was Elimelech's aspiration. We have to start without you. I didn't want to, but I couldn't wait. So that was his aspiration, to become a king. Well, a king generally gives leadership, provides stability. In fact, we know that the primary problem throughout the period of the Shoftim, which we mentioned at the end of Sefer Shoftim, was by Yomi Mohei Main Melech B'Yisrael, Isha Yosher Ben Avyase. Eli Melech, if he wanted to stem that tide of Isha Yosher Ben Avyase, of everybody following their own personal desires, of everybody touting their own horn, tuning their own horn, then he should have stayed and ruled and provide a personal example. Instead, of course, Elimelech does the exact opposite, and he flees. He runs away. He runs to stay Moab. The antithesis of what Malchus is all about. And I want to show you that also here on page 5. It's beautiful the way he develops it here. There was somebody in whom to pin one's hope. Biram Yuchesed Shem Yisrael, in the foremost city in Am Yisrael at the time, the Beis Lechem Yehuda, Mokom Moshav HaSanhedrin Bayomi Mahen, the place where the Sanhedrin was at that time, Yoshva Mishpachas Ephrosim, there was a family of Ephrosim, and we'll come back to what the word Ephrosim means later on, Noda, well known, L'shem, in their name, Ligdula, and their glory. Migdoli Ador, Elimelech was from the leader, the great man of the generation, Parnasei Ador, and the leaders of the generation. For Rosh HaMishpacha, and the head of the family, Atmisateid, also envisioned in the future, the Osnosei Keser HaMalchus Bisrael, to become the king of Klal Yisrael. Kasher Yoid Etzim Shmo, like his name itself tells us. Lamani Kosher B'Shmo Elimelech, why is his name called Elimelech? Shoyo Omer, he said, Eli Tovo Malchus, to me should come the kingship. And the truth is, he had a claim on this. He was a grandson of Nachshon ben Aminadav, Hanosia Rishon Shevet Yehuda, the first prince of the tribe of Yehuda. And the tribe of Yehuda was promised the kingship. And the will of Yaakov. Imkain, if this is the case, Zaish, this person, Shalfi Ma'amador Ram, based on his high level Kachash, but also he had certainly the power of persuasion, Harbe, much power of persuasion. Noah, he was destined, or should have intended, to save the nation Mitzkosa from its travail. However, this individual, she loved to say, the eyes of all the Zoro upon him, come, he gets up, Vosev, and he leaves Esamo, his nation, Vesatso, and his land. Ulanu push some ponov, but he doesn't just leave. Where does he go? Lo el hoyev ha-misorati shel Am Yisrael mi-mei yitzias Mitzrayim, to the traditional enemy of the Jews, from the time they left Egypt. Sha'atore hekima chayitz nitzchi, imagine where he's going. These are people who are forbidden to be Megayer. I mean, not to be Megayer, but they're forbidden ever to marry Jewish girls, right? He's going to people who are eternally cut off from Am Yisrael. He's going to Moab. I don't know what it's tantamount to. I guess it's tantamount to a Jew moving from Eretz Yisrael to Soviet Russia. Right? That's basically what he's doing. And why? Look at the significance here. What's the inherent trait of Moab? No chesed. Why did Elimelech leave? What didn't he want to do? He didn't want to give Am Yisrael. He said, I want to keep my stuff to myself. You know what? I'm splitting. Where am I going? To the place where other people keep their stuff to themselves. Where's that? Moab. The like pursues the like. Vanosi Chubeso, the prince and his household, Ozim Asamom, they leave their nation, Hamafarches, which is squirming, Bisurov in its affliction, Volchim El Ashkenim Aroim, and they're going to the bad neighbors, Vitzori Ayin, the miserly ones. Rav Hachovel, the captain of the ship, Ozavis Ha'aniyah HaTovas, leaves the sinking ship, Umilei Navsho, and he saves his own soul, V'nevashib Nei, based on the souls of the members of his household, Betzura Machpira, in such an embarrassed, shameful fashion, Kolkach. V'nokel Asher, it's easy to reckon, Ma Kamanis Yashua Nisharim Baniyah, how much Yeush, how much despair, well, suffered those who remained in the boat, Shanach Sholin Komo Alea, who, when the whirlpools were surrounding it, Lashkia to Bimtsulos, to cause it to drown the depths. Chazal Nostim Esagdor, Chazal define him as Shehipil Libom Sho Yisrael, that he cast Am Yisrael's heart down. Etzem have shows because of Shosham the very possibility that the head of the nation should run away. Ha'amu'uma l'chisim Achus, who was a candidate for king, he chuliyach rona, this is the last link in the chain, shomatzav yimei shvot ha'shoftim, of the generation, of the situation of the days of the shoftim. This is very good if you learn that it was at the time of Eliyahu Cohen, because this is already at the last, the throes, the death throes of the period of the Shoftim. There's already, must have been talk of bringing a Melech into play. And he was one of the ones who wanted to be a candidate for king. Well, this is the most dramatic reason why a king is necessary. Vagila Kitsoni, this reveals a sharp revelation, Shamatzov, the situation Shistarebam, which prevailed in the nation. Kima Mashma Ish Kol Yashaben of Yase. What does it mean that each individual did what they pleased? Asher Yitgisha Novi Pamim B'Sefer Shofti, which the Novi impressed upon us in Sefer Shofti. Loshkol Echad Harag. It wasn't that people killed, V'Ratzach Shaver murdered their friends. Rather, the regal education was missing. What does royalty mean? Not royalty, rather, what does nationhood mean? An individual must limit his own rights for the good of the community. And it seems that was prevalent in those days, some rotten attitude. It's completely forbidden to cut off the freedom of an individual. He's permitted to do whatever he pleases. V'zeh digla, this was the flag, shlosot kufa, that period. Achal shum kach sovra echad mi chazal. That's what one of the chazal holds. Ki sefer shortim u'nikra is called sefer yosher. Not yosher in the good sense. But each person does yosher in their own, but, their own way. V'mole kach, t'vish meir ba'al akeda. And if not, that was not the case, that things were so, so corrupt, the Baal HaKedah says, "Iv shal yosha nasi chiyazo v'sayato b'tanoi me'ela." He tries to be la mitzchus in Elimelech. Elimelech felt he had to leave the land. Ki amem sholay somonas ba'ado. Excuse me. Sorry, it's not la mitzchus. I take that back. Rather, were there not to be such individual freedom, it would be impossible for the prince to leave his land. Because the government wouldn't let him. They wouldn't get him in a visa to leave. They would have taken back his passport at the border. If Elimelech was allowed to leave, can you imagine? Coming to a border crossing with his tremendous household, the Aravodim, Shvachos, Tzon, Gemalim, and the border guards are going to let him go, at least without collecting meches. Obviously, if they let him go, it means that there was very, very little central government. And it was a shita, Yisha Yosha Bein of Yaseh. It was a very, very weak anarchistic system in Am Yisrael. So therefore, that which here the worry for the individual overtook the worry for the tzibur, Mechanim Chazal depict this Tzorus Enush Elimelech's miserliness. Neshadavka ba mida zu, since he had this mida, nimtza masugo leilch eretz moav, he was capable to go to eretz moav, makom chiusa shel tzarsayin, the life source of miserliness. Tzarsayin hi pucha shel chesed. Miserliness is the opposite of chesed. Had there midas hachesed mitzad ha'am, and there was a lack of midas hachesed in the entire period of Shoftim. It says the very early in Sefer Shoftim, doesn't say it explicitly, but Chazal tells that one of the problems of Am Yisrael is that they weren't going to chesed with Yehoshua. Yehoshua, he was probably bigger than Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. For Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, hundreds of thousands of people showed up for the Levaya. For Yehoshua, nobody showed up. That's what Chazal say. They weren't malavim properly when he was nifter. They weren't maspidim properly. What does it mean? What does that emphasize? Yehoshua did so much for you. He conquered Eretz Yisrael for you. He divided up Eretz Yisrael for you. Yet you don't show him chesed? That means that there's no... Everything is, I don't have to be bothered. I'm involved in my limited four amos. I'm not concerned with others, not even a manig in Klal Yisrael. That lack of chesed, still from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, be made bracha, in good times, he gives himself a reach to tights besof at kuf at the end of the period. Ba'zivasam mitzad ha-manig be made ra, when this leader left the nation at the time, where if it's bad times, shebezar hosif ra, he added negative to negative, ki tzadam muzar, the strange step which he took, hayar kirida sadam was like an earthquake, tachas ragliha. So, this is Elimelech. It was very, very devastating what he did. Nevertheless, it's interesting that we're going to see a balance between Psukim, Aleph, and Beis. And let's see that. Let's read Psukim, Aleph, and Beis inside. Let's go back to page 1. Vahibi meish shvot ha-shoftim, and it came to pass in the days of the shoftim. Vahi rab arz is a famine in the land. V'yelech ish mi beis lechem Yehuda, a person went from beis lechem Yehuda, lagur b'stei moav, to dwell. Lagur doesn't mean to settle there permanently, but to dwell. B'stei moav, hu v'ishto shnei varav, he and his wife and his two kids. Where's his name? Where's his wife's name? Where's his kid's name? I know what you're thinking. They're in Pasuk Beis. But why are they not in Pasuk Aleph? Chazal pick up on this. Let's see it's in Pasuk Beis first. V'shem ha'ish, the name of the person, the man, Elimelech. V'shem ishto, the name of his wife was Naomi. V'shem shnei bonav, and the name of his two children were Machlon v'Chilio. And they were Ephrasim, and as I said, we'll explain what Ephrasim means later. They came from Beis Lechem in Yehuda. They came to Stemov, Vayusham, and they were there. So again, why is his name not mentioned? Why are the names not mentioned to Pasuk Beis? It's a very interesting Chazal on this. Let's take a look here on page 6 of the handout. We have to see. V'tiuk sheni matzu kan chazal. Chazal found here a separate, another diuk, another point to point out. Shemash musa rabamod, which has very great significance. Vu, and that is shebtchila misaper akosu v'alichosu b'tzura stamis. First, the pasuk tells us this incident stam, without telling us who went. Milini kiva shemos, without telling us any names. V'elch ish hu v'ishtovara. Only in Pasuk Beis, Nisparshu Shmoseim, where the names made explicit. Umuva b'Yalkut Rus, and it says in the Yalkut Rus, Amar Rabbi Prachya. But also show at that time, Hoya Kodesh Baruch Hu, Danis Olam, God was judging the world. Uveiz Din Shel Ma'ala Omdim, the basin on high was standing, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Mastiro, and God was trying to hide Eli Melech from this basin. Shneimer says, Vayelch Ish. So the prosecution stood up, these kirasu, and mentioned him. Shneimar, Hashem Ayish Eli Melech. Miyad Nigzar Olav Al Shnei Bonav. Immediately, there was a decree issued against him and his two children. Okay, if that's the case, Shnei Psukim Alolo, Enem Ashlimim Zetzet. These Psukim don't complement each other. Elonu Roim Bayam is Nidunon. Rather, we see them as opposing each other, and they are like the balancing, Shal Kapos Hamaznaim, of a balance, of scale, Lizchus for merit Ulchova. There was an intent on high to try and judge Elimelech favorably. That's why the first pasuk hides their name. V'sochechalem, and protects them, latzila me'amuda kolon, from to save them from embarrassment. Ach midas adin echriya sakaf, but the midas adin overwhelmed that. V'yada novi kilu ro edes becharota lezecholam, and the hand of the novi waxes a little bit poetic here. The hand of the novi trembles as it engraves lezecholam for eternal degradation. V'shemo yishali melech v'gomer efrosim beis lechem yuda. Eile b'nei mishpachas efrosim shenimtzu shualim, they were foxes. Baruch Shalarayos, covered with the hides of lions. They were really improper, wrong. So what's the limud chus on them? What did Elimelech, well, how can we be limud chus in Elimelech, Machlon, Kilion, and Naomi? So it's interesting. The Malvim says that he was afraid of the masses. He was afraid of them. He was afraid, you know, Isha Yashabain of Yasser.
So it's possible that he ended in from Nido.
That's a good pshat. They don't say that. That would be a good pshat. In other words, when he left there, it's his throat. What? It's a good pshat. Some other people have said it before. Yeah. So he snuck out. Thing is, how did he take all his wealth incognito? Well, he did. Chazal say he took it with him. He lost everything. Chazal later on say he lost everything before he died. At first he lost his property. Maybe he bought diamonds, he snuck them out, I don't know. But in any event, that's a good shot that he went out incognito. And he took his wealth. Yeah, right. Right. A good point. The Malam says he was afraid. You wanted to say something? The Malam says he was afraid of the masses. After all, you know, you see that obviously if there's a sheet of personal freedom, it leads to things like Oklahoma City. And we all see, Mamish Bifnei, how these whacked out opinions lead to actual action and devastating destruction. So the same thing here. Who knows what could have happened? He was afraid of the masses. He's afraid if they got desperate enough, they would attack him. That was the Limud Chus on him. The Reb Tzadok says a very interesting shot. He says that, look, it says you now have to live in Chutz Lartz because Kolador b'Chutz Lartz kilu ein lo eloka. So he lives in Chutz Lartz as if he has no God. Well, why is that? Because in Chutz Lartz you're connected to Rishoyim. You're involved with the Goyim. So therefore it's as if you have no God because you learn from Maaseim Aroyim from their evil deeds. Well, Lamais and Eretz Yisrael, they're also Rishoyim. Because there was a famine going on, and we said the famine didn't come about Stam, it came about because they were Vahibi Meshvot HaShavdim, because they're all corrupt. So if that's the case, he figured, no, Malach HaMov, it's Mali Hocha, Mali Hosam, what's the difference? I might as well go to Chutz Lartz. So that's a Limud Chus on him. But the truth is, say Chazal, there's no excuse for a leader. Maybe for an individual there is, but a leader, Chazal, say, first of all, he should have davened for them. It's interesting. He says he should have davened. Leaders got to daven for his people. Besides that, he should have taught them the right derech. Should have taught them what to do.
All our others.
Yes.
Avraham Avinu, Yaakov, and Yitzchak Avinu, they all went to Mitzrayim because of, there was a raw boss, right?
They all left.
So what is the difference between their going?
They didn't leave anybody behind.
What?
They didn't leave anybody behind.
Did he leave
anybody? He left all of Klal Yisrael.
Oh, you mean they took...
They took everybody, lock, stock, and barrel. Their whole mishpacha was Klal Yisrael. That was all there was. Elimelech, he...
Also, the pasuk says, V'yaylech Abraham. It didn't say V'yaylech...
No, he went. They all went together.
No, it says identifies them.
Identifies them, yeah. They went out publicly. All the Shita Tzcha, they went out publicly.
They went out publicly.
This one just snuck out, right? Yeah.
I was going to ask the Rambam criticizes Avraham.
Granted, but not for the same reasons, right? Avraham should have, when he went down, should have not have gone down to Mitzrayim, and he should have remained with Bitoch and Eretz Yisrael. But that was not as heinous a crime as Elimelech committed. Because at least when he went with everybody. Whereas here, he just left. And they left Klal Yisrael to their fate, and he went, as we said, to Moab, the worst enemy of Klal Yisrael, saying, forget these Jewish people, I'm just going to be by myself. And it could be he went with his payas and with his strimal and he remained very frum. What good does it do? If you can't be a Jew on your own, you have to be a Jew as part of Christ, especially if you're a leader.
So Avram took all the people.
He took, right, Sarah and the whole household, yeah. You know, with Lot and everybody.
Does anyone say he back in the past? Is it closer to something saying that the reason I'm not doing it because he had something bad?
No, but I'll talk about his ancestry in a minute. Yeah. Oh. He took his immediate family, but not all of Am Yisrael. Sure he took all of Am Yisrael. Who was Am Yisrael at that time? When Yaakov went, he also took all of Am Yisrael. All Shivim Nefesh, they all left together. There was no, you know, everybody took responsibility for everybody else. Koyisar Raven, Zilazay. Now I want to point out Ephrosim. The word Ephrosim is a very interesting word. The Malbim says that Bnei Yehuda were called Ephrosim because of Kalev's wife Ephros. It says that the name in Divrei Yomim Aleph, Perek Beis, it says that Kalev's wife's name was Ephros. And of course, Kalev was the father, not one of the heads of Shevet Yehuda, and all his descendants are called Ephrosim because Ephros was his wife. Interestingly, they're called by the wife. And why is that? Because Ephros was Miriam. Name Ephros is a name given to Miriam. Kalev was married to Miriam. Their child was whom? Who was one of their children? Hur, right? And they had other children, obviously, as well. And that's why all Shevet Yehuda is called Ephros. Now, they're not the only people called Ephros, though. Yeravam ben Nevat is also called an Ephrosi. And he was not from Shevet Yehuda. Which Shevet is he from? Ephraim. That's why he was called an Ephrosi. Elkanah is called an Ephrosi, Elkanah, Shmuel's father, even though he was a Levi. Why? Because he lived in Har Ephraim. That's right. Yishai, the father of David, is called an Ephrosi as well. Why is he called an Ephrosi? Because where did he live? In Beis Lechem. And Beis Lechem is called Ephros. How do we know Beis Lechem is called Ephros? Derech Ephros, he Beis Lechem. That's where Rachel is buried. There we begin to see the connection. Rachel, Shevet, the mother of Shevet Ephraim, was buried by Derech Ephros, which is in the Nachla of whom? Whose Nachla is that? Yehuda. So here we see the connection between Yehuda and Ephraim developing. Grandmother. Yosef. Rachel, Yosef, Ephraim. Okay. That's what I wrote here. Shevet Yosef and Binyamin as well, and Shevet Yehuda must both be linked to Ephros because Rachel is buried by Derech Ephros, and Ephros is in the Nachla of Yehuda. That's another interesting parallel here to Miriam. So we see Miriam here in the first pasuk of the Megillah, right? Clear? Ephros, Miriam. The second parallel here, the Masorah points out. It says here, Vayelech Ish mi Beis Lechem Yehuda. There's one other Vayelech Ish in Tanakh. Where? Mishmos, what does it say? Right, Vayelech Ish mi Beis Levi, Vayikachas by Beis Labas Levi. It's interesting, because that one was the one from which Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And this one was eventually the one from whom David HaMelech was born. So what's the connection? Both of them were done by Miriam. Who made Amram take Moshe Rabbeinu, Amram take Yocheved back? Miriam. And who was the forebear of Elimelech and Naomi? Miriam. Now let's explain that. So here, to take a look at my notes here, I'll copy down, of course, the Reb Tzadok here, and I'll read it inside. Reb Tzadok here, it's at the bottom of the page 9, on the bottom right-hand side, from the Dover Tzedek. Anybody see that? Dover Tzedek, Daf Ein Aleph Amud Aleph. It's a very beautiful Reb Tzadok. All Reb Tzadoks are beautiful, but this one is especially beautiful. Nine, yeah. My handwriting. Reb Tzadok, Dover Tzedek, Daf Ein Aleph Amud Aleph. Ulekach b'Kadesh Mesa. Miriam died in Kadesh. That's where it says she died. Parashas Chukas. Shemiriam, Mesa, Shemir, there's a mistake, I have an extra word here. Mesa Miriam, V'yadua Ma'amorim Zalba Sanhedrin, and it's known what Chazal say in Masech de Sanhedrin, Mikolum Kulo Nitzbar Afaro. Adam Arishon was made from the entire world, right? So dirt to make Adam Arishon came from throughout the entire world. That's what it says. Kidei, why? Chazal tell us, Kidei shebechom akam shiyamus, anywhere he dies, yikletenu. The earth will be able to reabsorb him. Take back, offer atov, al offer tashuv, so that's what is created from the entire world. Niremize, beautiful Reb Tzadok, ki mimakam kfuraso, for the place where a person's buried, indicates misham lukach hamida chashuva shalo. That indicates if you're buried there, if you were reabsorbed into the ground there, then that place indicates your tchunas hanefesh. Question is what Chicago represents. But all right, let's leave that alone for now. It's more difficult to figure out than this one. Uperush Kadesh, well, the place Kadesh, is kmo Kadesh Hayabaretz. Kadesh Hayabaretz, what does that mean, Kadesh Hayabaretz? There was prostitution in the land. That's what that Kadesh means. V'tzolamar hefkerus. There was permissiveness, licentiousness. V'yesh bo gankin losha kedusha. The word kadosh also means sanctity. Kasher hakol b'rotzen Hashem Yisroch, and everything is by the will of God. V'zeu midas ha-malchus, and this is the midah of malchus, of kingship. Midas l'shu shlom ha-melech olav ha-shom. Do everything the way rotzen Hashem is, that's what a king does. A king makes sure the entire nation is ruled by Pi Ratzon Hashem. And when he's a good king, like Shlomo HaMelech was, at least at certain points in his lifetime, then he can even use pleasures L'Shem Shamayim. Why? Because he knows how to make everything correspond to Ratzon Hashem. That's the difference between a Melech and a Kohen. Kohen has to be somewhat separated. He has to be, you know, he can't be all involved in pleasures. There are restrictions on him. A melech is not restricted in that way. Umiriam gankin haya b'shorish midazu. And Miriam had the root of this midah, of this attribute, avalo mamish, but not completely. Ulekachua k'tzegvu k'nisosam l'aretz. Therefore she died just before they came into Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is, of course, the place where all hanos could be used l'shem shamay. They leave a mundane life for the sake of heaven. But she couldn't go in. Not her, not Mir Moshe, not Aaron, none of them could go in. And the truth is, had they gone in, they might have been able to rectify Am Yisrael to the point where there would never be a Golus. We know that's why Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael, among other reasons. Miriam perhaps as well. It's a very big kasha. Why was Miriam killed in the Midbar? She didn't sin at the Mei Merivah. The answer is clearly that she couldn't go in because it would be too good for Am Yisrael. It would have been a problem. Am Yisrael would have perhaps learnt the lesson which they would not be zochet to learn for whatever reasons HaKadosh Baruch Hu had. Alright, now let's explain a little bit more. Ki'ir Kadesh, the city Kadesh, who neged os halamed mishem ben membeis osios. We mentioned way back when in Sefer Shoftim that there are 42 stops which Am Yisrael made in the Midbar, in the in Parshas Maaseh, and the one, and they correspond to the name of God, which has 42 letters, which I don't know what it is, but in that name of God there's a letter Lamed, and that letter Lamed corresponds in its placement to the placement of the city Kadesh in the list of the 42 Masos. Why the link? Because Lamed indicates Kedusha. Lamed Hamigdal Parech Ba'avir. Lamed is called the tower which flies through the air. Because the Perech Rashi Perech Chilek. Shua Gago Shalamed. Because the Lamed, we mentioned this many times. What's unique about the Lamed? It's the only letter in the Hebrew Aleph-Bays which extends above the line, stretches up towards Shemaim. Is there any letter like that in the English alphabet? None. That's why it's very hard to make a Hebrew word processor. I told you this once before also. Because the Lamed is a letter which sticks above the line, and in English there ain't no such letters. So you can't just. It's very hard to provide for a Lamed in a word processor because of that. Well, Sidurim, they have it going down. Not in Klaf. You're not allowed to do that in the Sefer Torah. Stretch down, that's only Sidurim. They don't do it in the Sefer Torah. The Madpisim did that. They don't stretch it down. It says in a Medrash called the Oisus Rabbi Akiva, why is Lamed higher than all the letters? It's in the middle of the 22 letters. It's like the king who sits on his throne. Bear in mind, the word Melech is the Kaf on one side, the Mem on the other side, and the Lamed in the middle. Don't ask me why it's backwards. I haven't thought that through. But Kaf, Lamed, Mem, Melech is the three middle letters of the Aleph Beis, and the Lamed is the central one. Vayin Shom Dav Chof Aleph, Kosav, Ki, rather, Ki al Lamed Neged Lev. Lamed also connotes Lev, the heart. Ki Yodua Lev Melech Beguf, and the heart is called the king over the body. So to the Lamed is the king over the entire Aleph Beis because it stretches up above the line toward Shemaim and brings down Kedusha. The Gamloshim Razal Yumayin Beis on Beis Halev Ritzonu Lamar Yerushamayim. The heart is a person's Yerushamayim. V'hu Dargo de Miriam, and that was the level of Miriam. V'agag de Lamed, and the top of the Lamed stretches up. Ritzonu Lamar, turn the page, indicates to us. Now on the left side, Shepoina Lamala, it looks on high. Levakish Hakol Hashem Yisbarach, to ask everything of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nei Miriam Hiyoisa Atzmus HaBe'er. Miriam was the essence of the Be'er. We know the Be'er was, why they have the Be'er in the Midbar? B'schus Miriam, right? V'chein Amachus Beis David, and Amachus Beis David also, Nemar, it says, V'yerd Miyam Ad Yom. They will rule from sea to shining sea. Ushloma Melech Olav Hashem also made in the Beis HaMikdash also Yam. He made the Kiyar. He expanded to what was called the Yam. Avo Miriam Haisadayim Beitz Damtzemus. But by Miriam, this is still compressed. It was rock Be'er. It was only a Be'er. Only a well. V'amnam HaMamshich HaBe'er HaZeh B'tzoch Libos B'nei Yisrael. And who brought this Be'er into the hearts of B'nei Yisrael? And I put here in parentheses, Kina, my mission see you. Who's the one who draws out the water and brings it in? Who Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom. Shemitchila Yatsur Sasum. Originally the Be'er was a closed up rock. Kitam, like Vasirosi, Leva Evan, the heart starts out being a closed stone. Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom, Paul, Toch Levavam, in their hearts, Lahotzi Mayim, to bring out the waters which is in the heart. Because the spark of Judaism is embedded within the heart. Lotzi Mayim Shenirmas B'chol Mokom L'Cheshkos. Mayim always alludes to desire, to yearning, Kayadua. Cheshek V'shokos. But what type of yearning and desire? L'Hashem Yisbarach. Min HaMayim HaTachtonim. He brought that up from the lower waters, from within the hearts. Shua Be'er. That's the Be'er. Now, I'm going to come back and explain this in a few minutes. Let's talk about Ephros. That's Ephros from the side of Miriam. Let's talk now about Ephros from the side of Yosef. And then we'll try to tie the two together. And there, Tzadok says in a different piece, Amalek Nofel Biad Zaro Shel Esav. Amalek falls in the hands of Yosef. Amalek falls in the hands of Yosef. Shu Neged Esav. Yosef fights Esav. L'chein Esav, therefore, it says, B'shem, in Shem, Shom Kavru Atzmus Yosef. There they buried the bones of Yosef. Kisham Mamash Madregaso. Because that was his Madrega. Sha'asu b'nei Yaakov b'ritzicha. There, what did b'nei Yaakov do? They murdered Alcina Sazima because they hated licentiousness. They used kina, strife, against the b'nei Shechem, against taiva, against Shechem's lust because of the licentious behavior which Shechem involved in. Vaydekach nechbashlem, and that's how they conquered it. V'zal madrega Yosef, and that's the madrega of Yosef, to conquer lust, to conquer licentiousness. L'chein amar nasati l'chashchem, that's where Yaakov says, I'm giving you shchem v'goymer, which I took, b'chai b'yu v'kashni, with my sword and with my bow. V'dorshu razal yirshchem, and Chazal said, this is, what did Yaakov Avinu give Yosef? The city of Shchem. What's b'charbi? Which so maritzicha, that's through murder. U'v'kashti, kesh is here in his illusion, which so mar osabris. Kanoda, it has to do with the licentiousness. And in Gilad, shchichei rotzchim. There are many murderers. In Shechem, there are many murderers. It was near Miklat. V'chein b'Gilad. And also in Gilad, which is on the east bank of the Jordan. U'shteim chelko sh'yosef. They're both in the portion of Yosef. Ephraim and Menashe. V'chein b'ritzicha the Yosef. And Yosef has that power of ritzicha, of waging war. Lisrof beis Esav. To destroy the house of Esau, the Shofi Chamos Alakum, and pour out wrath on the Goyim, v'lo Yisrael Chas Hashem, not on Jews. Ukach Nemar b'Shevet Ephraim l'Bocher She'el Olam. That's why it says on the tribe of Ephraim, he didn't choose forever. Rak l'fishah, the power of murder and strife and war is good, but only temporarily. Sheish Akum when they're Goyim, v'ra and evil in the world. And Yerovam. After Nikra Efrasi, even though he's called Efrasi, Vishamati the Peirush Efrasi, and I heard that Efrasi means somebody who shomer abris, who watches himself from all licentious behavior. Peirush, and that's why that also means he's an ishnoi. He's a handsome person. Lo mukhur, not ugly. It says about Yeravam, I guess that he was handsome, and it says about Miriam also. I brought it down the side. Nikias Basar Haitza, she was also very beautiful. Shekukul abris mukhur, because people who are corrupt are ugly. Valzel nemar, and therefore when a Kosh Baruch wants to rebuke Am Yisrael, he says halok bnei kushim atem. You're ugly like the kushim. Avo Yosef yifeitar, but Yosef was very beautiful. Avo Mashiach, that's Yosef. So Mashiach ben Yosef first comes to wage wars with the Goyim. That's the purpose of Mashiach ben Yosef, to overcome Esav. Avo Mashiach ben David, he's different. First of all, he's not killed in war. Mashiach ben Yosef is killed in war. By Mashiach ben David's Nemar Chaim Shomim Choy, he lives forever. Shumasakin, what does he rectify in order to live forever? The other chait. Or rather, I shouldn't say he's misakin the other chait. He's misakin. He rectifies et Yosha Nachash, the counsel of the serpent, which was to succumb to lust, to taiva. First taiva, specifically there, the lust of eating from the Eitz Hadas. He rectifies it legamri. Therefore, l'kach kol chetei David or Shlomo, or l'chatoim of David Shlomo, heyam iznus. It looked like they were licentious behavior. Aval b'em say no chatoim, but really they weren't chatoim. And that's why David comes from Amun Umoav. Mashiach ben Yosef ben Bo Me'edom. Shem Yosef doesn't come from Esav. Ki etzo tzorech dover zel Yoskova. Because he does need the taiva, which is represented by Amun Umoav, because we know what their mothers did with Lot. Yoskova v'kaimo gam losilov, and that has to be there forever. So let's explain this in greater detail now. Miriam and Yosef represent something similar. And the truth is that this has to do with, I'll come to the truth in a minute. But they represent the power of restraint. Restraint which comes from being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a place where there's possibility to be a Kadesh, to devote oneself to licentious behavior, then Miriam represents Kedusha, being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and guarding oneself, which is Yira Shamayim, and the Gevurah of Ezu Gibar Kovish is Yitro. And that's the power also of Yosef. Yosef, we know, was faced with this great temptation with the daughter, with the wife of Potiphar, and he didn't succumb. He restrained himself.
So was Miriam a great temptation? Was him being living in Mitzrayim at that time?
Well, we don't know that Miriam per se faced any great temptation, but I'll show you an example of that in a minute, just a second. But, and that's really the prelude, however, because Miriam is important and Yosef is important, but the ultimate goal is David HaMelech. And Mashiach ben Yosef and Miriam both lead to David HaMelech. Why? Because David doesn't have to restrain and contain himself, but rather he knows, like we said before, a Melech knows how to use everything l'shem shamayim. It's not a question of restraining, but of using for the right purposes. And that's the difference in Kabbalah between liskafya, to suppress, and lishapacha, to channel and sublimate and use those things l'shem shamayim. That's the difference between Yosef and David. And the purpose ultimately is not Mashiach ben Yosef, not restraint, but rather Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben David means to use, to enjoy, but to enjoy in the service of a mitzvah. So now, Miriam represents innate Yirah Shamayim, which is a characteristic to restrain oneself, Gevurah, by focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the Liban of Am Yisrael. And the truth is that this is the connected to the Bina Yisera Nitna L'Noshim. What does it mean, Bina Yisera Nitna L'Noshim? Bina is also the power in the heart. One has Bina, one understands things by sensing where they fit, and one categorizes them. Chokmah is undifferentiated knowledge, a stream of facts. Bina is categorization. Well, categorization is also giving boundaries, saying, oh, this belongs here, that belongs there. That intuition has to do with a heart which has a sense of what goes where and what the boundaries are and what the restraint is and what one needs to what one needs in order to hold back. So that's the Bina Yisera Nitna L'Noshim. Well, that's also Yosef's Midah, restraint, standing back, holding back. And this, the name Miriam, Chazal say, it comes from the word Morim, bitter. Because really the first 87 years of her life were very bitter. She was in Mitzrayim. So it was called Morim by the life of Mitzrayim. But it's more than that. This type of Avodas Hashem is a difficult one, a bitter one. It's hard to constantly restrain oneself and sorely constantly be kovesh oneself. But it's a necessary prelude to any type of growth in Torah. You can't go without that stage. That's why it's interesting. Every time we find water in Tanakh, I shouldn't say every time, but a couple of times, we find the connection with first something bitter. The bear Miriam came about from Miriam, which is Mar. Also, the other place where water came to Klal Yisrael, right after the Shira Sayam, was at a place called, what was it called? Right after the
Mara.
And we find that also, Einata Moitze Divar Torah El B'misha Memis Atzmo Aleihem. You only find Divar Torah in somebody who's willing to devote himself to work tough at getting to suppress and to restrain one's Yetzer, and then afterwards can you grow to that point. Now the truth is that this Midah is ironic, because it says by Yosef that he was the great restraint, greatly restrained. At the same time, to whom was the bracha given, V'yidgu arov v'kerev haaretz? To Ephraim. The word Ephraim also means pareh, to greatly multiply. And Ephras also means to greatly multiply. So what's going on here? It seems to be a paradox. Are these the people who are restrained? Or are these the people who are actually going out and involving themselves much to a much greater extent in pruervu? So the answer is it's not a contradiction, right? Because what?
One is a prerequisite for the other.
One is a prerequisite for the other. That's right. Only once you go there yourself, you know what the restraints are, then you can use it properly, l'shem shamayim. And it's interesting because Miriam was the one who spoke Lashon Hara Moshe Rabbeinu. Primarily her. She was punished with Saras. What was her time at Moshe Rabbeinu? Who remembers?
That he left his wife, right?
That he wasn't involved in Puravu anymore. Why was she tining? Because she said, oh, I know how to use this Midah L'Shem Shamayim. And I know that I'm perfected myself. I have the perfect characteristic of Kedusha and Tara and Precious, and I still do it. Why shouldn't he do it as well? So she didn't understand how Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have the same tchunas hanefesh, the same characteristic as her. Perfection, restraint, and nonetheless, one can go ahead and do it afterwards. Adarabba. Afterwards, one can go ahead and do that. And, of course, she was wrong for whatever reasons, but that was the point. The point was that she felt that one could do, well, she had achieved that great level of kedusha, and therefore she was allowed to go ahead and do it. Now, the power of Malchus Beis David is also contingent on Ephrasim. You can't have Malchus Beis David without Yosef, which comes beforehand. That's why Shaul, who was from the house of Binyamin, the same power, came also before David HaMelech. And here, this family of Elimelech was meant for the same purpose. He wanted to be a Melech because he knew he was an Ephrasimi Beis Lechem Yehuda. He had both powers, the Ephras aspect of Miriam and the Beis Lechem Yehuda aspect of ultimately David. what it's supposed to lead up to. And he muffed it. But there's an interesting point which comes out later in the Megillah. He muffed it, but who didn't muff it? No. Naomi. What does Naomi call herself when she goes back there to Israel? Mara. She's a second Miriam. That's mamish what happened. And we see that in she called herself Mara at one point, and she became Naomi afterwards. Those are two antithetical names. Naomi means Naim, pleasant. Mara means bitter. Here too in the Megillah, we're going to go through the same process which brought from Miriam to Moshe. We're going to go through the same process of Mara coming and to become Naomi and bring about David HaMelech. But not yet. Right now we're on the way down. Right now we're going from Naomi down to Mara. Eventually we're going to come up again and bring about the new Moshiach, the new salvation, David HaMelech, which is Taka, as an Ephrasimi Beis Lechem Yehuda. So I think the stage is set for the whole Megillah here, that this Megillah parallels the story of Miriam, and this is very critical, and the only way you can build a Malchus based David is on the basis of an Ephrasi. And true, Yeravim ben Nevat also was supposed to be a king. He was from Malchus based Yosef. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be a king L'shem Shamayim to instill that Midah in Am Yisrael. He happened to have misused it for reasons which we're not going to get into now. But Ephrasi is a critical Midah in building a kingship in Am Yisrael, and we're going to discuss that further as we go through the Sefer when we get to Ruth herself. Now, this is brought about in the next Pasuk. Let's actually finally get to Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel says, Vayomas Elimelech Ish Naomi. Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died. Vatishoer hi ushnei boneah. And she remained with her two sons. So it's interesting. Why was Naomi not punished? Why was Naomi killed? Everybody else is killed. Why was Naomi killed? So Maamri says that she wasn't punished because it was Elimelech's choice to leave. Ish Naomi tells us she was a wife. She had no choice. She had to follow. There's another pshat here in this. Yeah. You're allowed to, but you're not mechuyev to. So I guess she didn't want to go that far. In addition, there's another allusion here in Ish Naomi, which the Mefarshim bring down, is that by the time he died, all he had was Ish Naomi. He was he lost all his wealth, all his property, all his fame, all his fortune. All he was just a husband of now a woman who became widowed. But she remained Ushnei Boneah, and she was with only her two sons. Vaisulem Noshimo Avios. And they married, Pasuk Dalet, Moabite women. Now the Malbim is Vendayik that it says Vayisu, not Vayikhu. The Malbim wants to say, whenever there's actual Kiddushin, it says Vayikhu. Whenever it says Vayisu, though there are exceptions to this rule, it doesn't mean Kiddushin. And by this he wants to sustain the Chazal who hold that they were intermarried. But this is a big machlokas in Chazal. It's not so simple. Some Chazal hold that they were actually shiksus. They married goyim, goyos. The other in Chazal hold, no, they were megaya them before they married them. So if that's the case, the Malbim is trying to bring it right that it was an intermarriage. Now, Shema Achas Orpa, the first one's name was Orpa, the Shema Shenis Rus, and the second one's name was Rus. But Machlon was the one who was married to Rus, and Kilion was the one who was married to Orpah. So the Malbim points out that Kilion got married first, before, even though he was younger. Machlon to Kilion means Kilion was younger, but he got married first. So we see from this, says the Malbim, a lack of ethics on the one hand, because it's not their chayes for younger son to marry before the older son. But besides that, he wants to say that this also diminishes a limud zchus we might have had on Machlon. We might have said, well, Machlon married Rus because he saw what an exemplary lady Rus was. But the Malbim says, no. Since Kilion married Orpah first, it must be that all that Machlon did was just followed his brother's example. And he saw that his brother took one non-Jewish lady, so he married this non-Jewish lady's sister. He didn't do it because of any L'shem Shammai motivation. And we know Orpah was not a good person. Now, it says here that they were married for 10 years. Right? They were married for 10 years, and Chazal say that there's a pasuk in Divrei Yomim which calls them Yoash and Saraf. They called Machlon Kilion called Yosh and Saraf, and Chazal explained why they called Yosh and Saraf. Turn now to page page 8. We have letter D. At Shebarocha Nevuis, in Nevuah, Ubiksav, Beis Yisrael, and in Nevuah, and in the writ of Beis Yisrael and Tanakh, Nikmush Mosei and Machl and Kilin, names are both called Machl and Kilin, which means Shenimchud Molam, they were raised in the world, Venichm Molam, and eradicated from the world, Vagam Yosh Vesarav, and they're also called Yosh Vesarav, Shenis Yashu Minagula, they gave up hope of ever being redeemed, the Sarfu is at Torah, and they burnt the Torah. How so? Ashum Shenis Yashu Mikovakov, they completely gave up hope, the Sarfu Achim Kolag Sharim, and they burnt all their bridges, Nasu Machlon and Kilion, they became Machlon and Kilion. And Rav Tzadok, who holds that they were Megayer, these women, holds that this is clearly indicated in the fact that they were there for 10 years, and they still didn't go back there to Yisrael. Because they should realize if they're there for 10 years and they're not childless, they're doing something wrong. So they should have gone back there to Yisrael at that point. They didn't go back. That was the point at which they died. Because it showed that they had no desire, even after being given this mussar, of being barred from children for 10 years, they didn't realize that they're supposed to go back there in Yisrael. And that's why they too were killed off. They became machlon v'kilion. Apostle K tells us, Vayamusu gam shnehem, they also died, and the word gam teaches that they also lost their property before they died, just like Eli Melech did. Vatishoera Isha, and the woman was left, Mishnei Yiladea, from her two sons, Umeisha, and from her husband. Now Chazal Medayik in the word Vatishoera, which is mentioned both here and in the previous Pasuk, Vatishoera, in Pasuk Gimel, also said the same Lashon, Vatishoera Hiu Shnei Vonea, Chazal Medayik that Vatishoera is like Shiorei Menachos, the leftover from a mincha, after the Kohen takes the komets, the little fistful, and puts them in his beach, so there's shirayim left. So they were vatishoyer. They were the shirayim. So nobody understands what that means. Well, everybody has difficulty with that medrash. What does it mean they were the shirayim? So I think the pashup shot is like this. What's the vast majority of the mincha? The komets, or what's left for the Kohanim to eat? The komets is a little nothing. It's a fistful. The overwhelming what? Yeah, the bread which they make from the leftover flour is the overwhelming majority. A mincha is a 40 or so beitzim, a very large, sizable amount of flour, and most of it is left for the kohanim. So really, what's more significant? The komets or the shiorei menachos? The shiorei menachos. So here too, Naomi was what's significant. She was the shiorei menachos. Naomi was left over, not just, I think, because of what the Malbim says, because she wasn't the one who decided to go to Chutz Laaretz, or she was taken by her husband. Rather, she had a destiny to play in Klal Yisrael. Just like Bezchus Nashim Tzidkonios Digalu Mimitzrayim, here it's Bezchus the Nashim, first Naomi, and then Ruth, that Am Yisrael got the Geula of Mashiach ben David. That's very important. And she was primary, like Shiori Menachos, that which is left over is the most significant. Okay, so in any event, she was left over. There was nobody left besides her, but who was the primary, the essential part of Mishpachas Elimelech. She arose, the Kalos together with her daughters-in-law, and she returned from the house, from the fields of Moab. Now, there's a diuk here. It says that both of them got up, but only she went back. Vatoshav, singular, Mistei Moav. And the Mabi wants to say that everybody felt the need to move. They had such bad luck, everybody felt the need to move out. But only Naomi had the intent to actually go back to Eretz Yisrael at this point. The daughters-in-law didn't yet know that they were going to end up following her to Eretz Yisrael. She had the direction, not them. Rabbi Yosef Lipovitz learns that the Pshat in Vatokam is they had a tkuma. Just like Vayokum stay Ephraim means Ephraim's field went up a madrega from Ephraim to Avraham Avinu when he bought the Maris Machpelah. Here too, there's the beginning of uplifting. They reached rock bottom, the very lowest of the low. Now, Vatokum. Now they're beginning to rise in their going back to Eretz Yisrael.
Then they let her down.
Only one.
Because.
But she pushed them.
No, they let her down because the Pesuk says that the reason she went back is because finally Hashem took out some place to Hashem. So it was a reason because there was a reason why she went back. Not because she had a
So let's see. I don't know if I have time to finish that tonight, but you're right. It's a valid point. L'chore, she's not going back for any altruistic reason.
Right.
She's going to because she heard in the field of Moab, Kipakar Hashem Esamalu. So the Malbim has a beautiful shot here. When I tell you that, let's see if we can do the Malbim tonight. You know, before I tell you the Malbim, just tell you Kupshat from Reb Tzadok. The Medrash says that she heard from Rochli Mahamachazim Bayoros, from the peddlers who started coming around the cities from Am Yisrael, that there was already bread. So Pipashtas, the peddlers are here, that means there's something to eat, otherwise they wouldn't have anywhere to peddle. But it says in the Gemara that Ezra Tikein Lam Yisrael Shayu Rochli Mahazim Bayoros, that peddlers should go from city to city. What did they used to sell? No? Perfume. So women for women. This is the Gemara that every woman knows. That Ezra made a takana, everybody should buy perfume. That there should always be perfume provided. So the thing is that it's the halacha says also l'shamish mitasel b'shnei ravam. Now if that relation during years of famine. So if now they're selling perfumes again, it must be that the famine is over. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to sell the perfume. So that's a cute shot, but that's the Malbim says something more to the point here. If you take a look on page two. The Malbim says, you know what, it's 10:05 already, and it's a beautiful shot. I want to see it in greater detail, so leave it for next week. We'll see that.